Jonah is a story that all of us know at least bits and pieces. Even if you're not a churchgoer, most people have heard at least some portion of this story or seen the movie or whatever the case may be. And just to let you know where I'm coming from, I want you to know that I believe that this story is historical, not an allegory. I believe that it really happened, not just a story made up to teach us a principle. And I'll tell you why. I'm a fairly simple person. And apparently Jesus believed it too, that this really happened if you read through Matthew chapter 12. And where I come from, if Jesus believed it, that's good enough for me. Because here's where my reasoning is. I'm pretty simple. If God raises a man from the dead and makes him immortal, I'm with him. I don't care what he teaches, I'm going with that guy. And so, you may not believe it actually happened, but we can agree to disagree on that. But in this story, in the story of Jonah, all of us, I believe, find ourselves. Because Jonah is all of our stories. Because all of us have one thing in common with Jonah. If it's not right now, it maybe has been, or for some of you, it will be. There will come a time in your life when you find yourself running away from God. And so we need to start today, if you're taking notes, with this one basic principle that we're going to build on. And that principle is this. You can run from God, but you cannot outrun God. You can run from God, but you cannot outrun God. And we need to understand that if we're to really understand our own experience. Now, there may be a group of you that in your side, you're thinking right now, well, Seth, that may be true, but I'm doing pretty good. I mean, my life is going pretty well. God is in the rearview mirror. I am making ground. I am going along really well. Life seems to be grand, and I'm doing just fine. Now, when we talk about running, we're not talking about physically leaving one place to go to another to try to hide from God, but we're talking about, I'll put it this way, a story that I often hear. And I have heard this story many, 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 many times. Maybe someone says, well, Seth, I grew up in church. Or I was raised in a Christian family. But then I graduated. And then I hit college, or I moved out, or I got the job. And basically, it was, see ya. That's not for me anymore. And unconsciously, what you said was, God, you stay at home because I've got a life to live. I have a destiny to reach. I have things to do, people to meet, a future to capture, a destiny to discover. And intentionally or not, we turned our back on God and we started running. And then every once in a while, we got invited to church. Or maybe someone gave us a Bible. Or maybe you felt that little tap on your shoulder and you wondered if maybe it was God, but you were moving too fast, things were going too well, and you just made every effort to put God behind you. Now, maybe for you it's not a general running from God. Maybe for you it's a specific area of life. There's one area perhaps that you just said, God, back off, because she's cute. And God, the way I see it is easier for her to become a Christian than it is for someone else to become cute. And so, God, I'm gonna do this relationship the way I want to do it, and I'd appreciate it if you just sort of stayed out of it. Or maybe you're married and you want out. And maybe you met someone else. And you realize, gosh, maybe I locked myself in too early. And yet, you know that God is saying to you, you need to stay in. But you want out. And you want to do marriage and you want to do relationships the way you want. You want to do it the way you feel is best. Or perhaps it's your finances. Perhaps the way you do finances is a little bit shady, and you feel like if you ask God, God, how do you want me to handle my money? You feel like He would say, not how you're doing it. And you don't know that for sure, but you'd really rather not know than ask the real question. And maybe, I don't know, maybe all of us are hypocrites to some degree at some point, because we'll pray things like, God, protect me, protect my wife, protect my kids, but God, don't mess with this area of my life. I mean, I want your blessing in all these other areas, but this area, I just want you to keep your hands off, because I know better, and we're just running away from God. Because everyone has run at some point or another. And what's interesting is all of us have run for the same reasons. Today, I hope that you discover that your story is not unique. And we always think that our circumstances are somehow the only, we're the only person that's gone through it in this way and in this time frame and experienced these emotions and experienced these circumstances. But I hope today you'll find that perhaps your story is not that unique. Because all of us run for the same reasons. I want to give you three reasons. Any one of these three. People tend to run for any of these three reasons. Number one is that we think we're going to miss something good. The reason we run away from God is we think we'll miss something good because we feel like God has a plan and God has a will and God has His Bible, but it's not my plan and it's not my will. And of course, the Bible, we feel, is just full of don'ts, and what God wants is not what I want. And we feel like if I go with God, then I'm going to miss out on something good, as if He's holding out on us, and so we run from Him. Another reason that people might run from God, and maybe this is you, is that we don't trust Him. Just matter-of-factly, we just don't trust God. I mean, we just ignore the fact that He's God, He's infinite, He created the heavens, He created the earth, He put the sun, moon, and stars in place, created over 600 kinds of beetles, but we think He'll mishandle this part of our life. And we just don't trust Him. Or maybe you fall into this third category. Maybe this is the reason that you have run from God in the past. And as a pastor, I just run into this all the time. Because some people run from God because we confuse God with the local church. We confuse God with the local church. Maybe your story is like this. You grew up in a church that was just not happening. Your church just seemed out of touch, seemed a little irrelevant. Maybe you were got slighted in that church. Maybe you felt judged. Maybe you even got kicked out of a church, or your aunt or uncle did, or your mom or dad did, or grandparents, and you maybe had a fight with somebody, and you just felt hurt by that church. Whatever the story is, you had a bad experience with church. And as a child growing up, if that happened to your family, maybe you just believed that God and church were sort of the same thing, and you didn't want any part of it. And the only thing at that point that we could figure out to do was to make a break. Because no one told you that God and church are not the same. And because you felt hurt by your church, you mistakenly turned your back on God. Now, there were times in your life when you wanted to reconnect with God, but you started thinking about your old church. Or maybe there were times in life when you wanted to really figure out if God had a plan or a purpose for your life, but you started thinking about religious people. And you backed away again. Because in your mind, to get away from one, you had to get away from the other. Now today as we talk, if you start to feel like I read your mail, or that maybe somebody knew your situation and they called me and said, Seth, you need to preach on this, or whatever, you just need to understand that your story is not unique. The reason you feel like that is because we have all gone through that. But the great news is today that if you're a runner, if you are running from God, the person in front of you, or the person behind you, the person to your right or to your left, they have also run at some point. And along the way, they discovered a truth. And that is, you can run from God, but you cannot outrun God. And that is a good thing. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. Good luck. Start flipping back in there. If you pass a book that says Malachi, you're pretty close. Keep going. If you start seeing words Jesus, you've gone too far. So if you see Jesus, go backwards. And while you're finding it, I want to talk a little bit about the runner's experience, because runners tend to have a common experience. And today, as we go through part of this story, I want to highlight three things that all runners do. And I hope that at some point during the message today, you have an aha moment. That there's a point where you say, how did he know? Because the reality is, your story is repeated over and over and over and over again in the Bible. It is not unique. Because the point is, when a man or a woman decides to run away from God, three things always happen. And if you are right now running away from God, either generally or in a specific area of your life, you are in one of these three stages today, and as we talk about them, you'll recognize where you're at. So we're going to start reading this story, and along the way, we're going to point some things out. Starting in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now I want to stop right here, because Jonah offers us an insight into God. Jonah's interesting because he knew all sorts of things about God that aren't maybe mentioned other places in the Old Testament. But here Jonah implies something about God that we often forget. God saw Nineveh in all of its sin, in all of its wickedness, in all of its filth, and he did nothing. He put up with it. He put up with it. He put up with it. And before choosing to cast judgment and wipe them out, he decides to give them one more chance. And in his grace, and in his mercy, in his patience, he decides to send Jonah to give them a final warning. You guys better shape up, or God is going to visit you in a bad way. Jonah 1, let's go to verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, that may not mean a lot to you. If this is a map up here, I'm trying to think how you would view it. If Jonah is living in Israel here, Nineveh is 500 miles this direction. It's to the door. Tarshish is out that window. It's in southern Spain. And so Jonah, rather than saying no to God and staying put, he says, I'm going to head 2,500 miles the other way, which to me is a big, not just a no, it's a no. It is, I am heading the other direction. And as we go on in verse 3, it says he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, here we run into the first thing that everyone who runs from God does. Now, let me just ask a question before we get to it. If you were running from God, where is the worst possible place you could go? On a boat, right? So what do people who run from God do? This is number one. When people run from God, we run to the dumbest places. It is absolutely the truth. We go to the strangest places. We go to the dangerous places. We go to self-destructive places. You know, as an outsider watching Jonah, you're reading that and you're thinking, not a boat. I mean, for us, if we wanted to run away from God, that would be like us heading to New York City, or perhaps I'm going to go scuba diving today. Or I'm going to run away from God. Let's go down and do some skydiving. Or let's rappel off a cliff. Or let's go hang gliding. People tend to go to the dumbest places. Now, what I know from watching people in ministry, I also know this from my own experience as a runner, that when we decide to run from God, when we decide to turn our back on God, we head to the dumbest places, and later, when we come to our senses, we say to ourselves, how could I have been so stupid? And so we want to say to Jonah, not a boat. You know, and here's where it touches down in our lives. People who love you, for many of you, it was your parents, maybe it's your parents now, they see the decisions that you make. And they say, you did what? You're dating him? You're going to marry her? You're going to start working where? You bought that? And everyone around us sees the lack of wisdom of the decisions that we make, but we don't see it because we're running away from God. Now, I want you to think about the biggest regret you have relationally. The one that you just look back and, how could I have been so blind? That's real simple. When you turn your back on God, you never run to safety. I want to just give some advice to the young adults here, especially those of you guys who are single. And if you're running, I know you probably won't listen to this, but if you're in a place in your life where you are running from God, please, 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 please don't get married. You will make a bad decision. And I know you're thinking, oh no, Seth, I won't. You don't think you will. But it will be a bad choice. And you will wake up one day and think, what have I done? A second common experience of runners is that when we run from God, number two, we eventually self-destruct. When we're running from God, not only do we go to the dumbest places, but eventually we self-destruct. It's not overnight. It's not a quick process, but it is inevitable over time. Why? Because when we turn our back on God, we turn our back on the source of wisdom. And we begin to make unwise, misinformed decisions, not intentional. We never mean to. We think we're doing the right thing. But we cannot help making bad decisions that come back to haunt us later when we turn our back on God because we have left behind the very source of wisdom to make good decisions. One of the reasons I love North Hills as a church is because this is a place for ex-runners. Actually, this is a place for runners who want to become ex-runners. Because people come here all the time and they say, Seth, you know, can the church help me out? People, they come here, they stop running. Eventually, they come back. But they come back with financial problems. They stop running and come back with marriage problems. They come back and stop running with kid problems, family problems, career problems, which are all a direct result of the decisions that they made that they now ask, how could I have been so dumb? And as smart as we are, as cool as we are, as educated as we are, as smooth as we are, when we turn our back on the source of wisdom, we cannot help but make unwise decisions. Now, there are two smaller parts of this that I want to just get into. Two things that lead us to self-destruction. The first of this, one of the reasons we self-destruct is because runners reject God's love and acceptance. We reject God's love and acceptance. Now, you, I think, will agree with me. Other than God and Mama, there is no place in the world that we find unconditional love and acceptance. And it doesn't matter how tough you are, guys. It doesn't matter how macho you are. Every man, every woman longs to be loved and accepted. And when we run away from God, we run away from the very source of love. And what it does is it forces us to try to fill our love tank from a world that cannot fill it, from relationships that do not offer it. And we spend huge amounts of money, we spend huge amounts of time, we spend huge amounts of effort trying to squeeze from life, trying to squeeze from people, trying to squeeze from business the very thing they cannot give. And it's not your fault. It's just the nature of walking away from love. And so you get married. And it doesn't fill your tank. It must be her fault. And you get divorced. You get married again. It doesn't work. It's her fault again. You get married again. And it's always her fault or his fault. And we keep running. And we never catch up. Because the thing we're running after is behind us. Another thing that causes us to self-destruct is that, letter B, runners turn their backs on purpose in life. That everything is created for a purpose. And therefore, the creator would know the purpose of the creation better than anything else in the world or anyone else. And no matter how smart we are, we never find our purpose in life apart from God. That is just a basic reality of life. Because God is the creator and you are the creation. Some of you right now are just blowing through your 20s, hoping that it's going to happen in your 30s. And then you get to your 30s and you blow through your 30s thinking it's going to happen for you. And you're going to figure out what life's all about in your 40s. Then you get in your 40s and your 50s and you start to see the end of things and suddenly you realize that what's between here and there is just more of the same. And you look down the road and what you see there is the same thing that you saw there. Because we always feel like the purpose in life, that's just sort of the golden ring. It's always over the hill. It's always around the bend. And suddenly we see the end and what's left is just what we had. And we get filled with a sense of purposelessness. And suddenly we have 5 Christmases left with the kids. And 4, 3, 2, 1, they're gone. And we're faced with what we can't get apart from God. And that is purpose. And we can run, we can marry, we can love, but we always end up empty because the creation only finds its purpose with the Creator. So, we run to the dumbest places. We eventually self-destruct. And another common experience of all runners is number 3. We hurt people closest to us. in the process of running, we will hurt the people closest with us. If you live with someone who is running, if you are dating someone who is running, they will have a negative impact on your life. We just get damaged by the shrapnel of their lives. Jonah, in this story, we know the rest of the story there. They're sailing along. They come into a storm. The sailors are faced with a dreadful choice. They either drown and lose their lives, or they throw the cargo overboard and they lose their careers, because after all, that's the whole point of the trip. They're going to get to wherever they're heading with nothing to sell. They're going to lose their jobs and their livelihoods. What a choice. Lose your life or lose your job. And all they did was take on board a guy who was running from God. Dads, if you're running from God, your wife and your kids are going to get hurt in the process. They're innocent. You can pray for God to protect them. You can ask God to leave them out, but they will be damaged by the shrapnel of your life. It is just a principle. It will still happen. Single adults, why do your parents overreact so much when you're dating certain people? Because outside of the relationship, where they can be objective, they look at the relationship and they say, huh? Because I'm just telling you, if you hook up with someone, begin to date someone who is running from God, it doesn't matter how pure your heart is, it doesn't matter if you're on course with God, you will be hurt in the process. There is an entire generation in this nation that will grow up and pay the price, perhaps their entire lives, because they had parents who ran from God. It's just a principle. We will hurt those closest to us. And we don't mean to. We just can't help it because it's a principle. Now, again, if you feel like I somehow got into your mail, I hope you understand that your story is not unique, that this is just what happens when we run away from God. But the great news, we've got to give some good news. The great news is that if we run, God will not let us go, sit back and just say, well, there they go, guess I'll get another, and just fill up that way. And see, in Jonah, we see taught the same truth that Jesus teaches in the prodigal son. We see the same truth that we find through the entire Old Testament in God's relationship with His people Israel. We see in Jonah the truth that we find peppered throughout the entire New Testament. And that is the truth of grace and forgiveness and unconditional love and mercy. And in this story, we also find our stories. Because God, in light of His mercy, in light of His grace, gets involved in your self-destruction. Maybe in the midst of your consequences, you will find God sitting right in the middle of it. Perhaps sometimes, as in the story of Jonah, He even exaggerates the consequences of us running away. But understand this, He does that not to pay you back, but to bring you back. Why? Because at Calvary, He asked His Son to die for you. And God is heavily invested in the process. He has already paid a dear price for you. And at Calvary, at the cross, you were bought and paid for. And God will do anything He can to bring us back, even if that means letting us suffer the consequences of our decisions. Even if that means at times exaggerating the consequences of our decision. Not to pay us back, but to bring us back. Now, we know the rest of the story. Jonah goes down below to take a nap. Let's look at verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And it's, you know, I imagine Jonah looking around, the sailors looking around saying, whoa, it's getting pretty rough out here. They didn't think at that time God was in the wind. But the great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Now, I don't know how many of you know any sailors, but it takes a lot to scare a sailor. They've been at sea. This is their livelihood. And here they are in fear of drowning. They pitched the cargo overboard. The entire point of the whole trip, they said, we're going to perish. They were in fear of their own lives. Verse 7, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. Casting lots was a form of divination to find an answer to a question. Very similar to today's Ouija boards. And it says that they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Now the Bible doesn't say this, but I wonder if Jonah didn't start thinking, uh-oh, I think I see a connection. Now there's no natural correlation between running away from God and a storm, but Jonah knew God. And the lot falls on him. And I'm not sure that he believed it was a coincidence. The story goes on, so they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the land and the sea, and the land I should have stayed on. And this terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? And they knew he was running away from the Lord. That's interesting, isn't it? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. I didn't make this a point, but it's interesting that runners always know that they're running. We are conscious of it. We just refuse to accept the reality. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and so they asked him, this is a great question. What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? I love that. What are we going to do to you to make it calm for us? But here Jonah realizes what I hope that each one of us realize today, because here's a conclusion for us. Number one is this, that running is pointless. Running away from God will not be effective. It is pointless. We can run, but we cannot outrun God. Because of His grace, His mercy, His love, it's a good thing for us. And we will not be able. His love creates consequences that we cannot outrun. We cannot outpace the consequences of His grace and His mercy in our lives. He says in verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea. In other words, I might as well die. And no reason to take these sailors with me. Throw me into the sea, replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault and that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried to the Lord. All of a sudden, they're all believers now. Oh, what's the name of your God? Dear God. What was his name? Dear God, please save us. They all became believers. Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. See, Jonah, I think, in the course of this, learned a new thing about God. The God who says, call me Father. And it's this. God doesn't chase you. God waits for you. When you're running away from God, God is not going to chase you, but He will wait for you. God knew the whole story. He knew how it was going to unfold. He knew how it was going to end. God wasn't sitting back in Joppa saying, where did Jonah go? He was right here when I left him. I went and took a break. I come back and he's gone. And anybody seen Jonah? God didn't do that. And there's a big fish swimming through the Mediterranean. Maybe decided to swim over to a side he hadn't been to before. Looked up. Saw that it was getting rough. Thought he should go deeper. Yawned. Oh. And verse 17. But the Lord provided. I love that. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Why did God provide a storm? Why did He provide the lot? Why did He provide the fish? Because Jonah was running away from God's unconditional love. And so we can ask ourselves, Why does God let our marriage unravel? Why does God allow our kids to be alienated from us? Why does God seem to ignore our prayers? It's not to pay you back, but it's to bring you back. And that's grace. And that's love. Just for a minute here, I want to sort of have a North Hills moment. Can we all have a North Hills moment? Let's all be real honest for a second. Now, how many of you today, I don't want you to raise any hands just yet, we'll raise hands in a second, can just say, you know, Seth, I'm running away from God right now. And I'm not sure that I'm really even ready to quit. But either I'm running generally or I'm running specifically, but yeah, I guess if I was honest with myself, I'm running from God. How many? Just put your hands up. Okay. Now, I want you guys to notice, those of you who put your hands up, just pay attention. Those of you who sit here and say, I know all about running. Because there was a time in the past that I ran. But I discovered that God wasn't chasing me. He was waiting for me. How many? Raise your hand. Okay. This morning, I prayed. This morning I prayed that perhaps today would be the day that some of you stop running. Because I remember the awful, gut-wrenching feeling laying in bed at night, knowing that eventually I'd have to go home to stop running because I knew too much. And I knew I couldn't pray, oh God, help me, because my last prayer was basically, see ya, amen. You ever pray that? I didn't necessarily want to pray, God, please help me now, because my last prayer was, dear God, no, in Jesus' name. And then I found myself in a situation wondering how I was going to get out of it, wondering how I could fix it, wondering how I could make it right, how I could patch it up, how I could undo it, how I could remake it. And I knew I had to say at that point, God, help me. But I knew that if I said, God, help me, that was the same as saying I was wrong. And my last prayer was basically a polite handshake for God. If you're here today and you're just all over this, perhaps you're here today, you're all over this, and you don't want to wait till the divorce happens. You're all over this, and you don't want to wait till the kids are gone. You don't want to wait till you're 50, wondering where it all went. If you want to stop running today, even if, Seth, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what it means to stop running. I don't know what it means to turn your back on God, but I just feel like I don't want to wait for these consequences. I don't want to run anymore to dumb places. I don't want to self-destruct, and I certainly don't want to hurt those people who are closest to me. Today I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision and to have someone walk alongside of you in that. We're going to play a song in just a minute up on the screen. And if it's you, I'm actually, Julie and Andrew, would you guys want to just come up here? I've asked Julie and Andrew just to be available. One over here, one over here. And during this song, if there's just a couple opportunities, either if you want to stop running and you don't know exactly what that means, but you just want somebody to pray with you, I just ask you to come up here. They're going to be sitting on the front pew. Go ahead, Andrew. Or maybe you just don't want to get up and walk. You can just pray where you are. Or perhaps you're living with someone who is running, and you're a victim of the shrapnel in their lives, and you just want someone to pray for you. I just ask you that during this song, you just come up here and pray with them for a minute. It won't take that long. Because there is something powerful in sharing your burdens and asking someone to pray for you. We're just going to take that time. Listen to the words. If you're a runner, I encourage you. Stop running. If you're being hurt by a runner,
I encourage you to seek some prayer.